I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. If you were notified that you had inherited a significant amount of money, how would your life change upon hearing that information? Come on, talk with me. Would you say, oh, that's nice. That's great. I doubt it. You'd be shouting. I don't know about you. I might take a couple laps. Well, the same way that your life would change if you were to receive information that you inherited a significant amount of money, the same way your life will change when you find out who you are in Christ and what He's given you. Amen. We've been talking about your identity in Christ, okay? So, and once you come into Christ, amen, that's just the beginning, all right? From there, you've got to grow and you've got to develop and you've got to mature and you've, you know, people sometimes they want the limelight, all right, so to speak. But did you know that the more responsibility, the more that God gives you, the more you're responsible for? Amen? And so as we discover who we are in Christ, you know, when the enemy comes against you and he tries to stop you or he tries to contain you or he tries to keep you down, when you declare who you are in Christ, it's like raising your shield of faith and to quench every fiery dart that he tries to shoot at you. Okay? So we've been looking into this, and we talked about our origin, how we're born of God, all right? And as you read the Word, it's like looking at your family tree, okay? The Bible is like your family tree. It tells you where you came from, it tells you where you're going, and it tells you what your father likes and what he doesn't like, all right? And as we read the Word, say, read the Word. That is the primary way that God reveals himself to us. So as believers, we've got to read the Bible. We say, well, Pastor, I'm not much of a reader. Well, you better be. You better become a reader. Listen, you can read through Christ who strengthens you. He says you can do all things through him, and reading would include that, right? So stop saying you can't read. Start saying I can read. Amen? So our origin is we get born into the family. The Bible says that he's given us his spirit, and we're adopted, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, all right? And Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born of water and born of the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God. So you can get born again, or you can get adopted, and both have the same rights and privileges, okay? And then once we're in Christ, then we discover our position. And we were looking at that at the book of Ephesians, right? In him, with him, through him, you are accepted in the beloved. That is your position, all right? You've been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. That's your position, right? Okay? And with position comes benefits. And we're going to get into the benefits in a little bit. But in Acts chapter 17, I want you to see something here. And see, the closer you get to Christ, the more you take on his characteristics, his nature, his likeness, his attitude. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Say, I can think like Jesus. When you think like Jesus, you don't think of sickness, you think of healing, all right? When you think like Jesus, you don't think of defeat, you think of victory, right? When you think like Jesus, you think of love, not hatred, right? You think of forgiveness, not bitterness. See, this is how we have to become. Our ultimate goal in life is to be like Christ. That's it, all right? And while you're being like Christ, you need to take as many people along with you. Because it's a good ride, amen? And in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, this is how we need to live in our position in Christ. For in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. That's pretty powerful, amen? See, before Christ, that wasn't true. But after you've accepted Christ into your heart, now you can live in Him. You can move in Him, and you can have your being in Him. Very powerful. So now, when someone comes to Christ, they are in Christ. When God looks at you, He sees Christ. Amen? When you put your faith, see, because Christ is righteous, you get to be righteous. Amen? Because Christ is raised, the Bible says, you're going to be raised with Him. All right? So we are joint heirs with Christ. We receive the same things. Can you say amen? And this passage here, so in Him we live. All right? He formed us, and He will continually sustain us. All right? Our constant dependence needs to be on God alone. Right? Because it's in Christ that you're strong. If you try to take the devil on in the flesh, he will beat you. But if you take him on in Christ, you will defeat him. And I'm going to get to something here. That means that we derive our strength from him. To move in him is he provides us with all the ability. All right? Did you know that your job or your retirement is not your source? What if God were to take all of his strength from you and you had no strength? How would that work? Could you go to work if you didn't have any strength? Could you go to work if you didn't have any breath? Could you go to work if God didn't give you a brain? Well, we need to change that because we have the mind of Christ. Amen? So let's use it. So this is a powerful thing. So from the lowest point in life to the highest place, we need to continually live in Him, move in, and have our being in Him. We need to take on, we are partakers of His divine nature. Hallelujah. Now this is important. Okay? I want you to go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And let's go to verse 25. This is a familiar story, but I saw something different in this story. Okay? A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, she suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had, and nothing was bettered, but rather grew worse. How many of us would lose hope at this point? 12 years, can't stop the bleeding, spent all my money, nothing has changed, this is hopeless. But you know what? It's never hopeless. Problem is, Satan tries to cause things to happen in life to make you lose your hope. But hope is an expectation. All right? Notice now. So she was identified as a person who had a disease, as a sickly person. She was identified for 12 years. She was known as the woman with the issue of blood. That was what people knew about her. Because it was persistent. It kept coming and coming. But when she had heard of Jesus, say she heard. When you hear the truth of God's word, your situation is about to change. Thank God for hearing his word. She came in the press behind him and touched his garment. See, what is she doing? In order to be able to touch someone's garment, how close do you have to be? You've got to be pretty close, right? She had to make her way to Jesus through the pain, through the irritation, through the ridicule. I don't think she just walked up to him because she was touching the lowest part. She probably had to crawl. How many would you be willing to crawl to Jesus if necessary? I ain't giving up. I'm not giving up. If I gotta crawl, I'm going to Jesus. I'm finding my way. Notice what happens now. Okay, she touched him. Why? She said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She put all of her eggs in one basket. But this was the good basket. Amen? This was Jesus. This was God in the flesh. This was Emmanuel. This was God walking. This was the Word in action. She put all of her trust in the Word. She tried doctors. Nothing wrong with doctors, but doctors couldn't do the job. Doctors were limited. Doctors couldn't solve the problem. They did their best. They took her money, though, didn't they? I don't see, the doctors didn't give her a refund. Did you notice that if you go get a procedure done, they don't give you a refund if it doesn't work? They take your money whether it works or not. Now, something happened when she got close to him and she touched the garment. Notice verse 29. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, that word virtue is power. So by faith, she made her way to Jesus, and because she got close enough, his nature, which was wholeness, got transferred into her via virtue, by faith. See, she received power by faith. It was by faith that she received healing, wholeness, nature, because, see, Jesus is healing. Jesus is the healer. He said, I'm the Lord God, I heal. See, so when you take on healing as a nature, then healing goes into you and it eradicates all sickness. She's no longer known as a woman with issue of blood. Now she's known as a woman with virtue. Because she got connected to the virtue by faith. This is what it means to be in Christ. Okay? She got connected. So she simply, her faith brought the power to her. Where was the power? The power was in the Word, or it was in Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So you could say that the power is in the Word. You holding the power of God right here in your hands. This is spirit breathed. This is the breath of God. God breathed on holy men, and they wrote what God said. Do you know how much? This has got more power than any nuclear power plant. And anybody can access the power that's in the Word by faith. Anybody. Faith is non-discriminatory. Amen? You don't have to be a particular person, a particular color, a particular kind, a particular position to operate in faith. God gives us faith. We need to have the faith of God, or the faith that comes from God. So what she did was, she identified with Christ and not her sickness. Because she said, if I but touch his clothes, I might be. No. She made a statement of assurance, a statement of confidence. I shall be made whole. She was determined. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going to let anything stop her. So the power of God was transmitted to her by her faith. Faith was the means on how she received the power. Notice, when Jesus felt virtue had gone on to him. See, the virtue was there, but in order to get that virtue out, you got to use faith. Okay? And he asked, who touched my clothes? He didn't even know who touched him. Faith, he just knew that someone with some faith touched him. Okay, and he looked around about to see that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. See, the work that gets done through Christ gets done in us. But see, she had to come to Christ. He was just passing by. He was on his way to Jairus' house. And she said, I'm going to touch him. How many times do we pass the opportunity to touch Jesus when he's walking by? When there's something stirring in a service, how many times do we fail to tap into that by faith? Faith is an action word. If you're in faith, there's going to be some action taking place. Notice what Jesus said in verse 34. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. So by faith, she identified with healing and left her sickness behind. By faith, she accepted wholeness. She didn't accept anything missing or broken, right? She identified with the wholeness that was in Christ. She identified it with, she said, I'm going to go out and get me a piece. I'm going to go out and get me some, right? Now, this was the same power that came on Mary to put Jesus inside of her. What did the angel say? The power of the highest will overshadow you. If you're going to overshadow someone, you're going to have to be close. See, both this woman, both Mary, they found their identity in Christ. She said, I'm not going to be called a woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to be called a woman with virtue. And Jesus was the one that said, virtue went out of me. Power. That's just dunamis. That's explosive power. Her faith was the fuse. And her touching set the fuse on fire. And then the explosion took place. She felt in her that she was different. She felt strength. See, she didn't identify with weakness. She identified with strength. Let the weak say, I'm what? She identified with strength. If you identify with what you can't do, then that's what will happen. Isn't that right? Did you know that what you say will pretty much go? Did Jesus tell this woman to touch him? No. Where did she get that idea? Probably the Holy Spirit. She just felt inside of her, go touch him. Touch him now. Okay. Woo, woo, ho! Oh! It's like touching a hot wire. She felt virtue go into. Jesus noticed virtue was in his garment. So when we identify with Christ. We're taking on his nature, his power, his victory, his gentleness, his love. And that's how we have to live by now. When you feel your flesh wants to rear up, and you know, Jesus gave his disciples the very same power to do what he did. I give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. So when you identify, when you find your identity in Christ, that means it's a set of characteristics that recognizes as belonging uniquely to you. And when you identify with Christ now, you take on his characteristics, his nature, his ability, his power. Paul said it's no longer I that live, but Christ now that lives in me. Christ came into Paul in such a way that he quit murdering and he started preaching. It brought such a change in Paul's life that he didn't go around with handcuffs. He went around with sermons and a pen and letters. So when you identify with Christ now, you need to take on his position. Above, not beneath. Light, not darkness. Do you see that? This is your identity. This is what God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we're going to get to the good stuff. Everybody say the good stuff. See, once you know your origin is coming into the family of God, accepting Jesus Christ in your heart, confessing him as Lord, then you realize that you have a position. And with position comes responsibility. You can't live like you used to live anymore. You can't talk defeat and try to live in victory. It doesn't work. Your words and your thoughts and your actions must be in complete and total agreement with this book right here. Jesus said, you need to obey me and you need to walk in my way. There was a way that Jesus lived. Jesus never had a bad day. You mean I don't have to have a bad day? No, you don't have to. Problem is, we let our flesh just do whatever it wants to do sometimes. And all of us are guilty of that. I'm not pointing any fingers because I'd have three pointing back at myself. That's why I don't point. All right? Now, once you know your origin and your position, now you're ready for the benefits. Everybody say the benefits. When you look for a place to work, are benefits that you get important? Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to give you my time. You're going to give me a salary. Now what? What else? What's the package? Oh, I'll tell you what. God's got a good package. God's got the best benefit package that you've ever seen. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. And if you feel like shouting, you know what I say? Shout. I mean, come on. God is alive. You know, where God is, we ought to associate and identify with life, not with death. Even the angels came to the disciples amongst the tomb and they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? This is not a dead church because our God is not dead. He's alive. So we better notify our face. And we better tell it to smile, to get happy because our God is alive, our God is real, and our God is in me. I'm telling you, I can hardly contain myself sometimes. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Everybody say all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What's included in all things? Anything that brings joy, anything. Did you know that if you put God first, all these things shall be added to you? God will clothe you. He'll house you. Why? Because he's good. He's gracious. He loves you. He's not bad. He's not vicious. He's not, you know, he's not out to get you. He's out to give to you. He's not out to take from you. He's a giver. He's not a taker. Psalm 84:11. I'm just prepping you before we get to the real benefits. Psalm 84:11. I want you to see this. The Lord God is a sun and shield. What does the sun do for plants? Without the sun, some plants don't grow. And he is not only a sun, but a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. Everybody say, no good thing. From them that walk uprightly. So all you need to do to have every good thing is to walk uprightly. Is to do what's right in his sight. Treat people like he treats people. Amen? Believe God like he believes God. Listen, if 5,000 people show up to your house for dinner, it should be no problem. You should say, what do we have in the cupboards? We're going to feed them. Because you know that whatever you have, when you get it into the master's hands, it'll multiply. First Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it'd be nice if we could just talk about the benefits all the time, but sometimes we need our vegetables, our spinach and our broccoli and our cauliflower and our greens. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I guess I better get in 1 Corinthians and not 2 Corinthians. Someone say, good. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. He just includes them in the package. These are bonuses. These are blessings. These are benefits. And the Holy Spirit is the one who shows you what you've been freely given. I don't know. Y'all don't seem too excited about that. I mean, freely give, say freely. Listen, how many, if you like something free, raise your hand. I get excited when something is free, most of the time. Because sometimes some things that are free aren't so good. How many know what Solomon? He prayed for wisdom, and what did he get? Riches and honor. He got things. He prayed for wisdom and he got other things besides that, on top of that. God gave him things that he didn't even ask for. Why? Because our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above. Not just, I'll barely get it more. No, exceeding abundantly above. David said in the shepherd's psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Do you mean God takes care of what you want to? Our God is so good, he takes care of what you need, what you want, and what you desire. If you delight yourself in him, he said he'll give you the desires of your heart. What are you desiring? Maybe that's the problem. You don't desire anything. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is my favorite. One of my favorites. I got so many favorites. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us. When did he give it to us? Yeah, when? When did he give it to us? When the bill was paid. When was the bill paid? At Calvary. Blood was shed, the deal was done, and all he had to do was rise from the dead, but the blood was the payment, and when he ascended into heaven, he took that blood and he presented it before his Father on the mercy seat, and God stamped the bill, said, paid in full for the world. His, according as his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life. Is there anything that you need in life? His divine power has already given it to you. And godliness, that's how you live. Through the knowledge of him. So it's through your knowledge. If you have little knowledge, you get a little thing, you get a little bit. But if you want to receive more, get more knowledge. Now, knowledge is not just a store of information. Knowledge is putting the information that you have into practice. If all you're doing is just hearing, and you're doing nothing with what you hear, then the Bible says that you will deceive yourself. What about the one who received one talent? God gave it to him. It was the Lord's, and he gave it to the person, but the person did nothing with it. You know, it's going to be a sad day to find out all the things that you did nothing with that God gave you. Well, I wasn't able to do it. Well, I gave you that. What'd you do with it? Well, it was too hard. It was too tall. It was too far. Yeah, I'm glad Jesus didn't say that about the cross. I thought as Christians we're supposed to go the extra mile. I thought if someone asks for your garment, you're supposed to give them your outer cloak too. Did you know that we're supposed to give like God gives to us? Did you know that with the same measure that you measure out, God's going to measure out to you? It's true. But isn't that awesome how his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Now, let's go to the benefit package part of this contract. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. See, as a Christian, you're supposed to discover your benefits. How many have you been, you know, you've worked and you realize that there was a benefit there that you could have benefited from, but you didn't know that you had it? If you don't know that you have it, you can't use it. And if you can't use it, then you can't benefit from it. So knowing what you have is important. One time they found a guy in a house that was broken down. He was malnourished. He died of malnutrition. But on his person, he had $24,000 in like a money belt that he must have forgot that he had to let himself starve to death. See, because he, even though he had what he could have used, he didn't know that he had it for whatever reason. I don't know why he didn't know it. But it was there. They found it after he was dead. It was there. He could have used it, but didn't because he didn't know that he had it. Or he forgot. Did you know that you can forget what God gave you? Because the Bible says, be not a forgetful hearer. See, if you don't use what God gives you, you will forget it. And you know, preachers aren't exempt from living by faith. Preachers have to live by faith too. Prophets have to live, they don't get a pass. They have to live by faith. Well, you're a prophet, doesn't matter. Every believer, doesn't matter what God's called you to do, has to live by faith. You can't rely on your laurels. You can't rely on your talents. You got to rely on God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is. Why are you blessing the Lord with all your soul? Because he is so good, it takes all of my soul just to let him know. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's why I'm so passionate. That's why I'm so loud. That's why I'm so boisterous, because I'm blessing God with what's in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody say benefits. Amen. I'll take an amen from Kendra. You know, there's a lot in this. A lot of religious people forget their benefits. How about the Pharisees in Jesus' day? They got mad because he healed someone. What about the person that, I mean, they got healed and they're getting mad because it was done on the Sabbath day? Give me a break. Forget not all his benefits. I'm here to remind you of his benefits. What's his benefits? Who forgives some of your iniquities? He's forgiven all your iniquities. You're forgiven. You don't, as far as that mistake you did yesterday, you're forgiven. Learn from it and do right now. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals some of your diseases. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. I could think back in the times when my life could have been destroyed. My life could have been ended. But the Lord redeemed me out of destruction. That's a benefit. This couple experienced a benefit. He healed all their diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You're a prince and a princess. You ought to be wearing a crown. He crowned you. And just like he's forgiven all your iniquities, you better forgive those against you. Forget them. Let them go. Don't hold on to them. Put them under the blood. Quit bringing them up. Well, I remember what you did 5 years ago. 5 years ago? What do you want me to do? Get in a time machine and travel back to time and do right? I can't. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do something about the future. Forgive those people. You got to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, Father, lay not this charge to their account. He's telling the people who are throwing rocks at his head. If Stephen can forgive the people who are trying to throw rocks at his head and end his life, then we can forgive. And God expects us to take his forgiveness and share it with others. These are benefits. Who satisfies your mouth with bad things? Say good things. Say, God is good. You know, God doesn't sit up in heaven going, I can't believe, look at that. I tell you what, he does laugh at the fool. Our God laughs at the fool who says there is no God. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yeah, your outward man is perishing, but, everybody say but, the inward man, the real you, is being renewed day by day. You're going from glory to glory. And you know what? Yeah, so your outward man is deteriorating, but one day you're going to trade the outward man for an upgrade. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. But you know what? Let's have a little heaven on earth until we get there. We don't have to wait to die to experience heaven. We can have heaven on earth right now. By the kingdom of God is within us. We can start walking according to how Jesus walked. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Yeah, you might be oppressed, but you know what? God will get his due. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You just stand in faith and God will take care. He'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. You know, when Jehoshaphat, when he went around and he established God's kingdom, he sent preachers out to preach throughout his kingdom. He instructed judges how to judge by not taking bribes. And you know what? The Bible says that the Philistines were sending Jehoshaphat gifts. See, when you do what God wants you to do, everybody is not going to like you, but God will make the right people at the right time like you. Amen? Because guess what? They didn't like Jesus all the time either. They tried to kill him several times, and he would just walk away. I mean, at least you're not going to work and someone's trying to kill you. Is that right? He made known his ways unto Moses. God wants to make known his ways to you. He wants to teach you his ways. These are benefits. Bible says that the Lord daily loads us with benefits. Deliverance from evil is a benefit. Protection from harm is a benefit. Having to know what your purpose is a benefit. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. His mercy will always come before his judgment. Say, the Lord is merciful and gracious. So that just tells us right there that he's not out to get you. He's merciful and gracious. But that doesn't mean you should act anyway that you feel like acting. Oh, well, I'll just do this now and repent later. No. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to not let your flesh sin, to not let sin have dominion or reign in you. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Yeah, there are some things that he gets angry about, but he doesn't keep his anger forever. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. To fear him means to respect him, to reverence him. These are benefits. We ought to go over his benefits every day so that we don't forget them. Amen? So, as we find our identity in Christ, step one, you get born again. You make Jesus your Savior. Step two, you discover your position in him, with him, and through him. Step three, you go over your benefits. And you act like you have these benefits. If you know that you're forgiven, why, as the psalmist said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. We don't have to walk around downcast, depressed, defeated. That is not who God made you to be. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're more than a conqueror. You can beat up the baddest bully. And the baddest bully is Satan. And you know, when he's going to get revealed to the world, they're going to say, this is him who deceived the nations? So who's ready to step up and to identify yourself with Christ? If you identify with victory, if you identify with wholeness, stand up. If you identify with joy, stand up. Amen? Because you know, when you have the healer, you have healing comes with the healer. Peace comes with the Prince of Peace. Amen? Deliverance comes with the deliverer. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think we need to just worship him a little bit. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Bless your holy name. This is who you are in Christ. This is what you have in Christ. This is what you can do in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. All that is within us, we bless your holy name. We bless the name of the Lord God Almighty. We bless the name of Jesus. Oh, we bless the Word. We bless your Holy Spirit. We bless your power, Lord God. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're powerful. You're glorious. You're wonderful. We bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise. We magnify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, 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 he's making you free right now. Hallelujah. You might have come here, you might have come in here carrying a load, but God has just lifted that load off your shoulders in the name of Jesus. He's made you free, hallelujah. He's made you bold, hallelujah. Oh, he's anointed you with fresh oil. Glory to God. Some of you need an oil change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. God is in the midst of us, mighty to save. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. See, and this is why we come together. Because many of you, you go out into a dark world. And it's just like your gas tank. You go to the gas station, you put gas in it, you run here, you run there, you run back and forth, and guess what? Your gas starts to go down. Starts to get close to E. But then you come to the filling station, huh? This is a filling station. The same people that got filled in Acts 2 also got filled in Acts 4 again. Hallelujah. So we come together so that God can give us what we need to be witnesses. So go and live as Christ lived in your before your relatives. Before your friends, when you're in Walmart and you're shopping for groceries and you encounter someone that needs healing, lay hands on them. In Walmart? Yeah, in Walmart. Pray for them. Believers, how many believers we got in the house tonight? Believers shall lay hands on the sick. It didn't say where. If you got hands and you encounter someone sick, then lay your hands on that sick person. Ask first. That's a good little tip. They'd be like, what are you doing? Say, is it all right if I lay hands on you and pray for you? Pray for people in the school. Get together and start Bible groups in your school. God owns that school. Someone needs to invite God back into the place. You be that one. God can transform things. Say this. Say, no more will I take a position of defeat. I'm victorious. I'm triumphant. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a head and not a tail. I'm an overcomer. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I've got love in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it awesome how simply finding out who you are in Christ can just transform? When you're out at a restaurant and you got to pray for your food, ask the restaurant, is there anybody else that would like me to bless the food? I'm about to bless the food. Let's pray over our food. Making sure that no one's looking at you. No, they might need their food blessed too. Why don't you just offer yours? This is, folks, this is what we got to do. Jesus is coming back. And he's not coming back for a wimpy church. A fearful church. Fear is not even in your DNA. You do not have a spirit of fear. So right now, Father, I take authority over fear that has kept us from obeying your word and walking by faith. Right now, I destroy and demolish fear in Jesus' name. I tear that mindset up, Father. I tear down its walls in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, what God gives us is not just for these four walls. Soap is no good in a box. Listen, if you want to wash your clothes, you don't throw the box in the laundry. You take what's in the box and you spread it around so that your clothes can get clean. We need to take what's in us and spread it around to the world. We got to kick it up in being witnesses. Being witnesses. Say, I'm a witness. I have something to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad I came tonight. So, if you would like to invest into this kingdom work, amen, it is a privilege to invest in the kingdom. Amen. So, you can do that. And what's going to happen is God is going to take that gift and he's going to receive it. He's going to bless it, he's going to multiply it, and he's going to change people's lives. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you for the ability to give into your kingdom. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a check, you can make it out to VCF. And in the back is our seed container. That's where you can put every offering and every gift in there. And there's envelopes for you. And hallelujah. Amen. Go in victory. Have a great night.